Hello and welcome to Clearing the Static, the radio show that talks about radio for Sunday the 13th. Hope you all changed your clocks ahead. We have a special edition of Clearing the Static for you, but first, some breaking news. The deal between Citadel and Cumulus is done. Cumulus is buying Citadel for $2.4 billion. That's $37 cash or stock to Citadel investors. This will bring Cumulus a total of 572 stations in over 120 markets. Cumulus will still be the largest market operator, and it will only have to sell stations in select markets, including Dallas and Nashville. Actually, this ties in quite well with our special. I want to bring in co-host Jake Longwell, because this week on the program, we're doing a special about a local radio station that 11 years ago today, or this weekend, met its fate, was sold, and was shut down. This was a radio station that served its community of license and served it very well. We are, of course, talking about WSFW, which was on 1110 AM and 99.3 FM. In its many years, it provided many specialty shows, and it had a simulcasting format for quite a many of years. Also had a classic country format and a CHR format on FM, known as the Pulse, in its later years of operation, and did much-needed news and public service in the community. And so we are celebrating this radio station today. Jake, do you have any thoughts on WSFW?
Well, I'd have to say, Radio Kid, that you pretty much covered it all in that short amount of time. This was a great radio station, and it's a fine example of full-service community radio at its very best. And you and I will always have fond memories of this station, and
yes,
it's because of those fond memories that we decided to do this special. Now, we're going to begin with an interview with a longtime WSFW employee. I'm speaking of Jim Schreck, who is currently employed at the Finger Lakes Radio Group. My thanks to Jim for taking some time out of his busy day to talk with us and reminisce about WSFW. The Radio Kid conducted this interview, and we will present that for you now. Jim Schreck, along with the Radio Kid, and Clearing the Static, as we pay tribute to WSFW Radio.
You're listening to Clearing the Static, the radio show that discusses radio, and on the phone with me is Mr. Jim Schreck, a longtime employee of the former WSFW radio station that operated in Seneca Falls. Mr. Schreck, thank you very much for appearing on this program and talking to us today.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk about WSFW.
First, tell us how you became involved with WSFW.
Well, I got into radio in 1981 at the urging of a friend, because I was an avid radio listener at the time, to WGVA, and he said, you know, they were taking people over at Hobart and teaching them how to be DJs. So we went to a Hobart William Smith campus station, WEOS, and I was there for a couple of years, a number of years, actually, and I decided to try and get a part-time job, and so I made a demo tape and sent it over to WSFW in Seneca Falls, and I believe that was in 1983, and one of the first people I met there was Greg Cotterell, who I've worked with all these years. But I started working part-time in 1983, just out of high school and into college, and worked there through college, and after I graduated, I had a couple of small part-time jobs, and then ended up getting hired full-time at WSFW, I believe it was 87 or early 88.
And what were some of your duties there that you were asked to do at WSFW?
Well, initially, I had a weekend air shift, what we used to call religious drive. You play the pastor's tapes and so forth. And specialty shows, and we used to have a lot of specialty programming on the weekends, and I would board up for the Italian musical program, and sometimes there was a sports show Augie Orlando had at one point. I board up a little bit for that, and the Irish radio show and so forth. And then when I got hired full-time, I was put in the evenings, which was about 6:30 to midnight, 5 days a week, and then I did noon to 6:30 on Saturday. And that went for a few years, and then eventually I got put on afternoons, and then eventually, towards the very end, I did mornings for a while. But with a radio station like WSFW, you did everything. You did everything from beyond the air to produce commercials to you read the news to you wrote the news, and you did everything. You did just about everything.
And let's talk about some of the local community services and specialty programming and things that made WSFW such a great radio station and such an asset to the community. First of all, the newscasts, which were very good, if you'll remember those. Did you ever have the opportunity to do a newscast?
Oh, yeah, I did news for years. When I was out in the afternoon, Greg Cotterill would write the news for me, and I did newscasts at noon, 3:30, 4, 4:30, 5, and 6 o'clock. And, of course, when I was out on the weekends, I would read weekend news, or in the evenings, I would read local and national news. We had the old AP Wire and everything. But local news was a huge component of what we did at WSFW, and Greg Cotterill was a huge component of that. And our philosophy used to be a dogfight in Seneca County is more important than a war in the Middle East. And it was all about being local and all about being out in the community. And Greg Cotterill was everywhere. And he had a network of other folks in the Seneca County Corps that he used to network back and forth with. And later on, we ended up networking with television stations in Rochester and Syracuse, including our news, which is now YNN. And I recall many times where we'd be on the air at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'd be reading a story, and there'd be three lines on hold, and you'd have a Rochester TV station, a Syracuse TV station, and then another radio station in another area all listening in on the call, either recording it to use bits for their newscasts or transcribing it to get information about what was going on in our area, because we were the source.
Didn't, just as an aside, didn't Steve Cimolo also play a big component in the news?
Yes, yeah, Steve was our news director for a while when Greg Cotterill left and took a job as Seneca County, I think he was the director of tourism I can't think of what it was, but he took another job for a while and eventually came back to doing news later on, and now I currently work with him again doing news. But yeah, Steve also picked up where Greg Cotterill left off. But Greg Cotterill was the one that really built the legacy, and then Steve carried on with it.
Mm. So, and then the other thing that WSFW did, which was very much an asset to the community, was high school sports. If I remember correctly, they had the Seneca Falls high school team. I don't remember what the name of it was now, but
Miners Academy Blue
Miners,
Devils.
Yes, with Dave Barnick and
Jack Ippolito. You know it.
Yes. I still remember. I still remember listening to those. they were definitely.
Take me home tonight.
Yes,
touchdown.
Yes.
He went down like a sack of Wayne County onions, Jack Ippolito. That was one of my favorites right there.
Oh.
And take a letter, Maria. That guy's going to prance into the end zone. Yeah, that was another big one. Dave Barnick, mouth of the South. He just recently retired from Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, really?
In South Seneca County, yeah.
Oh, wow. The other thing WSFW did was specialty shows and ethnic programming, and I believe in the early days they even did some religious programming. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
During the week we had the Family Rosary for Peace, which came to us a couple of different ways. We had a telephone loop directly from a chapel in Rochester, and then later on we would dial in and pick that up, and that was from 6:30 to 7 every night of the week, and we used to run that every night of the week. On Saturdays, we had the Rock Shop with Bob Appel, which ran from 7 o'clock till, well, midnight or whenever it was he finished up, because he would go late sometimes. But the Rock Shop was the second longest-running heavy metal specialty show in the entire nation. There was somebody else that signed on the air with a specialty show like a month before Bob did. But Bob ran that for 18 years, and then, again, Steve Similo picked it up later and ran it as the Metal Shop. But, yeah, Bob was legendary. Bob
yes,
was legendary.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
And on Sundays, we had all kinds of programming. As I said, I remember we had the Augie Orlando show on sports years ago. Matt Fiola's Italian musical program used to run on Sundays from noon to 2. Later on, we had the Irish musical program. We had a polka show that was on. We had a jazz show in later years that I also helped engineer with Larry Gaisley. So we had a number of different specialty programs. And at noon during the week, we would, it came and went. We had like a talk show feature or a community events feature that would go on in the noon hour. So we'd have a long newscast at noon and then fill it up until 1 o'clock, sometimes with community events. Other times they would have a call-in show and do buy, sell, and swap and so on and so forth.
Another thing which I remember from your final broadcast, and this is something I would very much like to talk about, is that you had said that really being on WSFW, you really got to know people in the community. One of the things that you had referenced is that you had been taking birthday book requests, and there was this one person who called. And you had been taking their birthday book request for so many years, you knew their name, and you knew the name of everyone in their family, and when their birthday was. Kind of tell us, like, what WSFW, what did that mean to you to be such a part of something that really got involved in the community in such a vital way?
Well, I feel very lucky to have gotten into radio when I did, because it was at the tail end of when radio was what radio used to be, with live announcers, in many cases we were still able to pick our own music. WSFW had a live assist machine for most of the time that I was there, or we used some kind of computer automation. But we were able to do a lot of local programming. We were able to be live on the air, and we were able to be a community-based radio station. And I think it really helped shape my view of radio and what it should be and what it ought to be, and that is carried through to what we do today at my current employment at the Finger Lakes Radio Group. Is we are trying to be local and being a local voice for the community and an outlet for the community as well, because it's something that people really call for and it's something people really like. And I'll be out in the community speaking with people and they will repeat to me things that I've said on the air because it meant something to them, or they became part of my life and I became part of their lives. And they'd come up to me in the store, "Hey Jim, I heard you weren't feeling so well, how you doing with that? Did you find that gift for your niece?" It's like that. You really become part of someone else's life. It's about relating to somebody else and having them relate to you, and it's a very real thing, and that's something that you're not going to get from your iPod. That's something you're not going to get from internet on demand, which is where music seems to be going, or at least music delivery services. But radio is more than just a music delivery service, and that was something that came through with WSFW, is it really became part of people's lives and people really counted on it.
I'm going to ask you some questions about the final days and weeks of WSFW. When you found out that WSFW was being sold to family life, and then in turn to the radio group, who we should say is Mr. Schreck's current employer. Mr. Schreck, what was it like, I guess, to find that out? I mean, you know, when you found out that the station was, you know, for sale, you know, what was that like for everyone involved to know that, you know, in a couple of weeks, this station is going to be going away?
It was like a death in the family, and it was very difficult to take. It was a very difficult time, and it had come on the heels of so much anticipation for the future, because when I first got hired by WSFW in the late 80s, the original owner, George Suen, sold it to Brian and Joan Rogers, and then in 1997, George purchased it back, and we proceeded to completely remodel the facilities. It was all brand new. All the wiring was new. All the equipment was brand new. And so we're 3 years into this new thing, and George came in and told us one day, he gathered us all together and said, you know, in 2 weeks, I'm selling a business, and it's not going to be here. And we met George Kimball, who was at that time working here in Geneva. He's now based in Arizona. But George Kimball came in, and he sat down and talked with us and said, you know, some of you won't be coming. We don't have positions for everyone. I brought my resume with me that day and gave it to him right there. And but, yeah, it was difficult, because in a real sense, if that hadn't happened, I probably would still be there. It was just one of those things that in a job like that, you stayed there forever. You know, that's what community radio was kind of like. In larger markets, it was much more itinerant, and you would jump from job to job to job, or even in the Finger Lakes, you might have several jobs at different radio stations, but you stayed in one area. And like I said, I had spent up to that point half of my physical life and half the life of the company working for this one radio station. And although in a way I didn't know that I would always be there, I always thought it would still be there. So
right.
it was quite a shock.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it was quite a shock, and it was some long days leading up to the last day.
And I'm sure that because, you know, didn't George Suen completely revamp like the formatting and the sound of the station too when he took it over? In 97?
Yeah, it was completely changed over. We went from a tape-based automation system that dated from the late 60s all the way to Audio Vault, which is a computer-based proprietary radio audio system. So we went straight from the from the middle part of the 20th century almost into the 21st overnight, and it was quite a shock.
Well, also, you became, now that was at that point in time, you also, the AM became a classic country station, and the FM, which was my favorite, was kind of a CHR based, The Pulse.
Yep.
I remember that very well. What format was WSFW running before the FM became The Pulse? I don't rightly remember, because honestly, I wasn't listening much until after you made that change.
Well, WSFW always floated somewhere between an MOR, middle of the road format, to an adult contemporary-based format. And it would. And the thing with AC, it's a variety format that tends to run hot or cool, just depending upon the mix. And so it's always been something like that. At various points, we had a country crossover reel that we used to play, a song, you know, like a couple songs an hour of crossover country artists. And other times it was very mellow, and other times it would get, you know, really rocking. But it was basically somewhere between an MOR and an AC format. And we stepped up the AC considerably when George came back. But yeah, it was a lot of changes. A lot of changes.
Yeah, I remember that. And now, before the AM and FM split off in 97, you were simulcasting, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Now, I'm turning now to the last day and the last moments. You actually produced a very well done special, which you will be hearing some audio clips of on this program. In the special, you gave the history of WSFW and then interviewed present and past staff. Were you assigned to do that special, or was that something you did voluntarily, and what was it like to produce that?
It was something that I wanted to do. I just kind of brought up the idea and went about doing it, and went about trying to look up former staff members and trying to get some interviews, and it was hectic because, you know, as the days wound down, we're trying to get an awful lot of things done, and, you know, everybody was kind of stressed out, but it was something that was sort of a labor of love for me. It was something I needed to do to put closure on all of this. And I remember the last time it played, as you and I were speaking before the broadcast, we played it at noon, and then at 5:30, I believe the last song I played was "Auld Lang Syne" from Kenny G.
Yes.
Yep. And we went into this half-hour presentation, and then exactly at 6, the transmission was to be shifted over to The Wall, which was The Wall 93.7, and then became The Wall 99.3. So that shift occurred right there. And I remember at that point, from 5:30 to 6, I was alone in the studio. The other members of the staff that were still there, because we had an open house all day with food, and there were people coming in and out, and they had all gone down to what had just opened. It was Tavern on the Flats had just opened. It was the old Filthies. And at the very last minute, just a couple minutes before 6, Lori Parrish, our station manager, and Maureen Koch, Mo, who was one of our salespeople, were down at the bar, and they said, "Jim's all alone back at the radio station. We shouldn't leave him like this." So they came back, and they were there when we finished. And the final piece ended, and I pulled the fader down and turned the monitors off. And Mo and Lori were standing over in the corner, you know, with tears in their eyes, and I got a few tears in my own. And I went home.
I remember that you also did the sign-off. You were the voice of the sign-off. You were the last voice heard on the station. Did you do that live?
I don't believe I did. I think that was recorded. I believe that was recorded.
What was that like for you to be the last voice on that station?
It was poignant, and it hurt. You know, it was a very poignant moment. Because that was a radio station that I really took ownership of in my heart. And I encountered the same thing when I went a number of years later to work at WFLR in Dundee. I was the program director there for 3.5 years. And I met the same sort of passion in their eyes when I went to work at WFLR. And they said, "This is my station. You know, this is my radio station. And, you know, this means the world to me." And everything that happened to the radio station, they took it personally. And they took a personal interest in making, you know, they made the radio station their own, and it was an extension of themselves, and vice versa. And that was how I felt about WSFW. And I will always be proud of the work that we did, and I will always have a very warm spot in my heart for the years that I spent there. And it was a very special time. It was a very special time. Wouldn't trade it.
I have to ask you a couple more questions before we close. We were listening to the special, the WSFW special, and we did notice that Bob Appel was not on the special, although many other staff members were. And I know Bob recently passed away. If I may ask, why was he not on the special when he was such a big part of the radio station?
Well, Bob had a number of falling out episodes with the management over the years. And the last time he left, he just didn't want to come back. And I believe we called him, or at least we tried to contact him, and he was invited to come down that day, because at that point he was not working for us. And he never came to the open house. He never showed up and I never heard from him. And but that was like Bob. Bob was a very private individual, and it meant an awful lot to him. In his own way, he cared an awful lot about the radio station. And yeah, I just think it was too much for him. And it was sad, because I remember wanting him to be a part of that, and he wasn't. So
I remember listening for his voice, and I remember being disappointed that, you know, he wasn't there. One final question that I must ask, because in listening to the special, you said something so just so moving when you did your farewell as part of the special. You said, and I quote, "I'm going to feel a little lost without WSFW around." Now you're working for the radio group, and as you mentioned, you did work for WFLR, which was a similar station. So my question is, do you still feel lost without WSFW around?
I'm sad that it's not there. I think it was something special. I think it was something unique. And I wish it could have been preserved. I wish it could have stayed there. Ironically, the type of radio that the whole industry is seeking for again, if you follow the trades, and about the big thing in the last couple of years has been localism. You know, that was something we were doing for years. It was something that we did in spades, you know, at WSFW. And to see that go away, and to see us all working to get back to that, it just, you know, it just kind of bugs me that it wasn't able to stay there. You know, I'm fine with it. My life has improved. I have a great job with a great company. I have no complaints. It was good. It was good to move on. And really, it was time to move on, in a way. I think in some ways, the world had changed around WSFW, and it needed to change. And unfortunately, it wasn't able to keep up with the change, economically speaking. I do miss it, and I wish that it had been able to stay where it was, because I think where it was a really good location. And I think a lot of people came up to me later and said, boy, if we'd only known, you know, we would have bought it.
Well, I've heard through the grapevine that there was someone who tried to buy it, but by that point George Suen already had his mind made up that he was going to sell to Family Life. And actually, I've heard that had something to do with the contract that they had with Jim Travis.
Mm-hmm.
I can't verify that, but that's what I have heard. In any event, Mr. Schreck, we would like to thank you very much for coming on our program today and talking to us about WSFW. Surely it is a station that still lives in people's hearts, even if it is not on the radio anymore. And we just very much appreciate you taking the time to come on this program and talk to us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for calling me.
Thank you very much. We will continue with our WSFW special on local radio in just a moment here on Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio.
And that was an interview conducted by the Radio Kid with Jim Schreck, longtime employee of WSFW. We're paying tribute to that legendary radio station on this edition of Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio. My thanks again to Jim Schreck for that interview, and also for the conversation that we had after we finished recording the interview, which I swear went almost as long as the interview itself. We probably could have gone on for hours talking with him and reminiscing about radio in the Finger Lakes. Speaking of reminiscing, we will wrap things up this week with the very last broadcast that was to take place on WSFW-FM from its studios at 1 Water Street in Seneca Falls. This broadcast, lovingly produced by Jim Schreck and featuring many comments from current and former WSFW employees about the radio station and some of their fond memories. We have most of the special. We probably lost the first few moments of Mr. Schreck's opening remarks, but we have the rest of it intact. A little staticky, but well worth presenting. And we're going to present it for you now on Clearing the Static, in memory of WSFW.
1968 was a turbulent time for most of America. The Vietnam War was on everyone's mind. 1968 featured the Summer of Love and also saw the assassinations of both Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr. Locally in 1968, Mike Gladys was elected chairman of the Seneca County Board of Supervisors. The first baby of 1968, born in Taylor Brown Memorial Hospital, was the son of Mr. and Mrs. Richard Ireland of Waterloo. Center-cut chuck steak was 69 cents a pound. The bank interest rate paid on savings accounts, 5%. The intersection of Fall and Rumsey Streets was widened, and a house was torn down to make room. The town clock building was torn down, and the town clock was moved to the grounds of the Seneca Falls Historical Society. Cable TV arrived in Seneca Falls. In 1968, ground was broken for Gould's Pumps R&D building. Marty Toombs was named sports writer for the Seneca Falls Reveille. Howard Van Kirk was named editor of the Reveille. Gould's Pumps purchased the rec center on Route 318. In 1968, Eisenhower College opened in Seneca Falls. The bell on the Gebbin Suen Yarn Factory rung for the first time since World War II. And the big names in high school sports? Mike Nazzolio and Nick Madej Jr. Station owner George Suen began his involvement with WSFW radio in the mid-1970s.
Well, my dad died in 1974, and I became involved heavily in 1975. And we moved back here from Vermont because my dad asked me to move back when he was feeling so ill. And after his death, I got deeply involved in the radio station. I remember going back to the Harold Weber days and a lot of other old-timers that were here, and a lot of things were going on during that time. And so I was also deeply involved in moving Seneca Knitting Mills from the location on Baird Street back to the old mill location. That was in 1975. And that took a great deal of my time and effort. And so all in all, it's all my memories of it are very fond memories.
We're two men, we're suing in old Seneca Falls.
With George Suen's involvement of the radio station came the evolution of the Moon with Suen show to the Chewin with Suen show.
The Chewin with Suen program followed the Moon with Suen program because it was Moon with Suen when we were involved in the dairy business. And then after the dairy was sold, we were involved in the restaurant business. So we changed the Moon with Suen to Chewin with Suen because we were in the restaurant business, and that's how that all happened. And then, of course, the introduction, the intro, and the outro were all done by my good friend Ralph Senecropi. He did the famous intro and outro song for Chewing with Suen. And that remains to this day. And, of course, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain is our theme song. And that was a great favorite of mine. It was a great favorite of a great friend of mine, Bobby Dyson. And I miss Bobby a great deal. He was a great guy. He ran the dairy and did a terrific job.
Do you have a favorite guest or maybe a favorite memory from Chewin' with Suen or Mooin' with Suen?
No, all my guests were my favorites. I don't have any particular favorite. I had a great time with all of them. They were a lot of fun, and we kidded a lot of people. Dr. Paget was known as Dr. Twistem. Fred Regal was known as Dr. Yankum. Herb Holden was known as Dr. Barkham, and they were all my guests at one time or another. We had a lot of fun. And then, of course, we had down from the Adirondacks, we had Buck Naked, and we also had Harris Tweed. So we had quite a group.
In 1987, WSFW Radio was sold to Brian and Joan Rogers. However, 10 years later, George Suen decided to get back into the business his father started.
I was so busy with Seneca Knitting Mills, and Brian wanted to go in the radio business, Brian Rogers, so we agreed to sell it to Brian, and it was very good for Brian, and and good for me at that time because I was very busy. And then when Seneca was sold in 1995, I was really sort of looking for something to do, and Susan wanted me out of the house, and Brian at that time was agreeable to selling the radio station back. So that's how it all happened. It just sort of worked out that way.
When George began to assemble his team, longtime WSFW employee and then office manager Lori Parrish was called in to be general manager.
I started here in June of 1985 under the ownership of George Suen in Water Falls Broadcasting. I started the job as office manager, doing traffic, reception duties, typical secretarial job. The job developed itself over the years where my responsibilities became more than just an office manager. And sort of in a small office like this, it becomes the hub of the environment, so to speak. And I think George recognized that when he came in and bought the station back in 1997 and thusly appointed me general manager, which I was happy to do. I've enjoyed doing that since 1997. George was in touch with me before he purchased the station from the Rogers, expressing his interest and what I thought the prospects would be. I was very excited at the prospect of George coming back into the station, not for any other reason than just to see it back in his family, and that I thought it would be a good move for the station itself.
After repurchasing the radio station in 1997, a major overhaul was undertaken, replacing over 20-year-old equipment with a state-of-the-art computer system, handling all the music and programming elements for two radio stations simultaneously. Chief Engineer Jim Travis was called in to completely rebuild the broadcast facilities. Virtually all the audio equipment and wiring was replaced, the studios remodeled, and eventually both AM and FM transmitters were replaced as well.
When George came into the station in 1997, he made tremendous improvements in the equipment. We moved so fast from the 20th century to the 21st century in a matter of days that I thought it was quite amazing, and I think we did an incredible job at doing that. We went from totally non-computerized to fully computerized, with basically teaching ourselves how to do it. A little bit of training from some other folks who had the equipment, but for the most part, we did hands-on, and I think did a remarkable job of doing that ourselves. The equipment was desperately needed, and I think gave us a better sound immediately, and that has been shown through the last 3 years.
We really, actually, what we did is we brought the radio station into the 20th century. We added computers, and we had the ability to broadcast 24 hours a day, and we could do it with the same people that we had before, but we could do a lot better job with the new equipment, and that's sort of how it worked out.
Since 1997, WSFW Radio stepped up its commitment to Seneca County and the Finger Lakes. Highlights include the introduction of new specialty shows like Jazz Brunch, Healthy Cooking with Your Friendly Italians, Polka Party, and the Sunday Night Oldies Show, the return of Weber on Sports and Chewin' with Suen, extensive coverage of the First Family's visits to Seneca Falls, Waterloo, and Skinny Atlas, the Willie Nelson Summer Concert 98 at New York Chiropractic College. And, of course, our strength remained in local content and local news, with over 22 local newscasts daily. And in January of 2000, WSFWRadio.com became a reality, with audio files featuring local news, sports, and weather available 24 hours a day from anywhere in the world on the Internet. And then there are the thousands of dollars worth of cash and prizes given away each year. But General Manager Lori Parrish says one thing outstrips them all.
Over the years at WSFW, our promotions have given our listeners an opportunity to travel to a variety of destinations and enjoy events in this area, which maybe they would have not otherwise been able to do. But I think the most valuable thing that we have given the listeners of this community is the value of WSFW itself to them as being the information source for people in this area. The first place people call in the morning when the weather's bad to find out if school is closed is WSFW. The first place that they tune to when they know that there's breaking news is WSFW. And I think that is what is of most value to our listeners over the years. And I feel that that's worth so much more than any prize money or prize that we could give away.
WSFW Radio has played a significant role in the lives of not only its listeners and advertisers, but past and present staff members as well.
Hi, I'm Greg Cotterill. I've been around the radio station since 1980, August 1980. George Sewin called me up in Geneva. I was working at a radio station. He said, come down here and talk to me. We need your help. And so I've been here on and off since then. And George always had the great motto, a dogfight in Seneca County is more important for news than a war in the Middle East. And that held pretty true until the war in the Middle East, when one of our own from our own backyard, in fact, a classmate of mine, Bill Andrews, was shot down and taken prisoner of war in the Middle East. So the Middle East became very important. But we always try to cover the news. We have many big stories from the peace camp days in Romulus to fires to mass murderers coming through the area. Just stories after stories. I think we've been talking about the Cougue Indian land claim since day one. And we're still talking about that today. So we've tried to do our best to cover the stories like no one else can. And hopefully we can continue to do some news on AM 1110. We hope that you'll stick with us and continue another 30 years of great tradition of radio right here in the Finger Lakes. And to the rest of the staff, best of luck in your endeavors. And we'll go on and try to remember that a dogfight is more important than a war in the Middle East.
Hi, this is Michelle Arnold. I'm a salesperson here at WSFW. I've been here since 1993. September 2nd, I believe, I started with Brian and Joan Rogers. Greg Cotterill actually got me the job. I was working at Empire Farm Days for the Chamber of Commerce. He talked to Berta Bennett, who was the then director of tourism, and asked her if she knew anybody who would be good in sales. And since I was BSing my way through Empire Farm Days, not knowing anything really about Seneca County, she said Michelle would be good at it. And I kind of said, no way, I don't want to sell anything. I waitressed, and that was the only kind of selling I ever wanted to do. I was afraid to be pushy with people. And here I am almost 7 years later selling advertising. I'm really very, very upset to leave this job. As a matter of fact, I didn't even wear mascara today, knowing that I'll be crying by the end of the day, because technically this is my last working day here, since tomorrow I'll be here all day with the open house, meaning Friday, if you're hearing this Friday. Anyway, working for George Sewin was great. Working for the Rogers was great. I worked with everybody here. I mean, I don't think that the staff here, everyone that's here now has been here for a long time, and it's, you can't work in a better environment. We all work as a team. We all cover each other's butts. You've probably heard me on the air doing a lot of commercials lately. That's one way that we work as a team. We don't have a female voice for on air. So, you know, I just learned how to do commercials and do those myself. Jim taught me how. And I don't know. There's not a lot more I can say about this place other than I really love the people here, and I hope we all keep in contact with each other and can still help each other in the future. I'm pursuing other opportunities. I may be selling advertising in the area just for a much larger company, and I hope that my customers will help me out maybe a little bit, and I definitely will be seeing all of you in the future. Good luck to everybody here at WSFW. It's been great.
Hi, this is Ted Allen, and I worked at WSFW back in the mid-'80s, about 82, 83, 84, around in there, and did the morning show, did the news. Yeah, we did everything back then. I guess we still do here. But one of my favorite memories of the station, more particularly of George Sewin, was the fact that he's a person who was very devoted to seeing that radio was a local medium, that we cared about the concerns of the people. I know when it came to news, he always used to tell us that a dogfight down on Fall Street was much more important than a war around on the other side of the world. And in a real sense, there's a lot of truth to that. And especially with the changes that have been going on in the broadcasting industry over the last 4 or 5 years or so, where it's become very corporatized and part of big corporate chains. I'm very sad to see George getting out of the business, because he was one of the few people left who really had an appreciation that radio was something that serves the community, and felt that that was just as important as his bottom line. At least that's always the impression we got when we worked for him. And looking back and listening to the station over the years, that impression still rings true. And I wish George a lot of luck. And
This is Mo Koch. Well, I just wanted to put my 2 cents in, and as far as remembering WSFW, and since I worked there from 85 to 92, we had some really, really good times. There were some fantastic remotes we did. I remember Domino's Pizza, where we all stood out there in the snow and the rain and ate pizza. Of course, the big one was the Big M in Waterloo, when Bob Appel put me in a grocery cart and rolled me around the grocery store. But we certainly did sell an awful lot of Fritos that day, what I didn't eat anyway. And, of course, we were at the Quickville with the WSFW chicken. Now, the chicken always kind of made comments and got people in. Just to remember some of the things we used to do, we're going to miss the local shows. I know dear Mr. Weber is going to roll over when he hears this, but, you know, we'll miss Weber on sports. I was always welcome to stop in and put my 2 cents in, and I even did the Weber show one time, and we had a lot of fun. Of course, the Italian show with the little Italian teddy bear, Maddie, and the Irish and Polish shows, the jazz shows, and of course, cooking with the Barrows. I usually knew what I was going to have for dinner at least a couple of times a week after listening to Jim and Marilyn. We really, I think the station did a super job on the basketball, the local basketball sports coverage. Jack DiPaolo, Dave Barnick, Greg Conner, a lot of times they weren't on the air unless Greg was managing to put a couple of wires together and climbing on roofs and putting aerials up, but it was a lot of fun, and I think the coverage was excellent. I think the coverage is needed in the local area, because if you couldn't make it to the game, you knew you could turn into WSFW and get all the coverage and all the excitement. And some of the outtakes of those shows are really, really funny. I hope they're saved someplace. And, of course, doing commercials, when I used to sell radio, there was always the one that wanted to come in and have it on at 6 o'clock, and I'm hitting the station at 4, so Bob and Pella and I, or you, Jim, or Trina, or somebody, we'd go in and we'd do the commercial and we'd have it on by 6. And, of course, Bob Appel used to do, you know, the King of Furniture, we miss him, Augie Orlando. And we started the whole love seats in the commercials. But we had a great time, and I just wanted to put, of course, I can never say 2 cents. It's always at least 5 or 10 cents worth, but we'll miss WSFW, and I think that a lot of credit has to go to you, the staff there, Lori and Dorothy and you, Jim, and, of course, Bob used to be there, and Greg and Michelle, who had some side...
Cleveland, good evening, United, 1789.
He's the new one. And I just think you all need a great deal of credit for what you've done with the station and really made it come of its own. So we will miss it, and we will be in there Friday to say hello to everybody.
Well, my name's Jim Schreck, and I've been here... well, forever. Out of 19 years in radio, I've spent 17 of them here at WSFW. I came on staff in 1983. I'd been working at WEOS as a volunteer and a high school student in 1981. And came down here, brought a tape, and started doing part-time work. Even went to college and continued doing part-time work here, and was hired in 87 full-time, and have been here ever since. And I remember when George took over the place in 1997, first thing I said to him was, George, you own the building, but I've lived here half my life. Just remember that. And that was sort of the way I felt about the radio station. I've spent half my life here. I've been here with the company half of its life. And I just feel very close to the institution, and I feel very close to the people that we've served. Just the other night, someone called up with a birthday book request, and they started saying their name, and I knew all the names of their family, and I knew whose birthday it was, simply because I'd taken their birthday request every year for so many years. Things like that I will miss an awful lot. As other people have said, I'll miss the people. This has been a family atmosphere, and it's been a part of my life, all my life. I feel a little lost without WSFW around. And I will miss being able to serve the community in such a unique way. To have someone come up to you and say, hey, you know, we listen to you every day, and we really appreciate the news that you do for us. And just, you know, to be at work and have someone call up and say, listen, you know, I've had it on all night, and it's really made my day, and I enjoy what you're doing. I like the music you played, or hearing from people at Seneca County House of Concern when we've done remotes and raised thousands of dollars for them. Just being able to do something like that is very unique, and you don't find that in radio much anymore. Really, the place where you find that the most, I believe, is in a small market station and in a small town. So that's what I'm going to miss the most. I'll be moving on to other things. Don't really know yet. Have a few cards up my sleeve to play, but I know it's going to take a long time before I ever find anything that I'll feel as good about as I felt about working here at WSFW. And I just wish everyone on the staff and all the listeners the best for the future.
One memory that I have of working here with the station certainly helped me appreciate what the sports guys go through for a broadcast. I traveled to Buffalo with them when the, I believe it was Minders girls and boys, both went to the States in Buffalo, and we covered, oh, I don't know, two, maybe three games in one day, traveling back and forth from site to site, and phone connections to phone connections, and a few broadcast problems, but it certainly made me appreciate more of what they do and what they go through to get the broadcast on the air. It was tremendous just watching them in action doing the game, and I had a great time. It was a great day-long event.
Hi, this is Matt Fiola, the host of the Italian Musical Program on WSFW. As you well know, today is the last day that we will be on the air. The station has been closed, and my feelings are, of course, kind of sad. And not only that, I'm very nostalgic about the situation. All the staff that have been that I've been associated with have been tremendously cooperative. They've been great. All the engineers I've had for the last 26 years of doing the show have been just terrific. And I know that I'll be missing all the people that I worked with all these years. But as the old saying goes, all good things come to an end. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the end of chapter one. I will be moving on with the show, of course. And I would like to wish the entire staff a lot of luck for whatever they're going to do in the future as far as employment. And that's it. It's very, very sad. What can I say? I'm lost for words right now. And of course, many of you know too that George Suen is going to undergo surgery, and I would like to wish him a very speedy recovery. He's been extremely good and cooperative with me all these years. And he's been a really great friend and a great guy and a great person to work for.
This is Dorothy, traffic manager with WSFW. I would like to thank all the advertisers and listeners who have supported WSFW over the years. I have only been with WSFW for a little over 3 years, but in those few years here, I have been trained by the best and have worked with the best. I wish all of them the best of luck, and I would like to say I will miss you all. Please take care. See you later. Bye.
This is Doug Auer, and hello to everybody in the Finger Lakes. You are seeing the passage of a fine radio station that was really dedicated to the community and served it very well through a number of generations of ownership, if you will, but always was dedicated to the needs of people through community service and news. I enjoyed working with George Suhan for many years at WSFW, and I wish him and all the folks there the best for the future, and I'm most certain that the needs of the community will continue to be met by new management. Good luck to all.
Hello, I'm Steve Simolo, past news director and program director at WSFW Radio. I began my professional career in radio right here on the WSFW airwaves, joining as an intern back in 1991. Then I moved into the news department several years later. Mainly, though, I would like to express my great sense of loss at the passing of this great radio station, at least as we know it today. WSFW has been a staple in the local community and a place we could always turn to hear the latest local news, maybe a weather report, some music while we worked or played, or just a friendly voice from one of the local DJs who lived and worked right here in our community. Unfortunately, this page in time will now just become a chapter in the Finger Lakes history books. I would like to thank the terrific WSFW staff, past and present, for their dedication and selflessness they've expressed for our local community and for making my foray into broadcasting a great experience. But most importantly, though, thanks to all of the listeners and the sponsors who have supported this great radio station for more than three decades. WSFW, you will be missed.
Hi, this is Ed Battaccio. I'm the operations director for Our News, Time Warner's 24-hour news channel in Rochester. I wouldn't be in the job that I am today if I hadn't done my radio internship at WSFW Radio back in the mid-80s. I was there the summer of 1986 and worked with some wonderful people who helped me learn the business. Certainly in a station like that, you can learn the business at a grassroots level, which is terrific. I worked with Greg Cotterill, who taught me how to do the news, Trina Myers, who helped me learn how to be a board op, and I'd later go on to actually make my debut on WSFW as a paid person on Christmas morning, 1987. And for those of you who might have heard me a few years ago, I did a short stint there on Friday nights called Fast Eddie's Friday Nights. It was a radio show where we took requests, and I had an absolute ball during that short time that I did that. I went on to work at other stations around town, or around the Finger Lakes, rather, and then back to television in Rochester. But, again, I wouldn't have had any breaks in my career if I hadn't first done my internship at WSFW and then starting on the air there. I really appreciate the opportunity that I was given by everybody there. At the time, the owners were Brian and Joan Rogers. I'm indebted to them and everybody who helped me. I miss people to this day that I used to work with, Bob Appel, my cousin Jack DiPaolo on local sports, Harold Weber, the games the station does, the local presence the station has in the Finger Lakes is outstanding. Having worked for the people that are buying this station group, I actually know that you'll be in good hands. But certainly, it's a sad day that for Seneca Falls that you know that WSFW FM will no longer be on the air. It's a station all of us who lived in the area and still live in the area grew up listening to, heard our teams play during Section 5 playoffs. Listening to the news, the very in-depth local news. Just a great job. It was an asset to our community, and I hope still will be in whatever form it takes in the future. Again, this is Ed Battaccio wishing everyone who works or once worked at WSFW all of the best, and I appreciate the role that it's played in my life.
Hello, this is Jeff Sesniak. You probably know me as Jeffrey Says on WSFW, and I'd like to say thank you to all the listeners and supporters of WSFW through the years. And I'd also like to thank WSFW for making me a part of their broadcast team. And this is my last goodbye on the radio. So I'd like to wish you all the best of luck. Goodbye from me, Jeffrey Says. This is Jeffrey Says signing off for WSFW Radio.
Hi, I'm Pat Maduri, host of Sunday Night Oldies here on the Pulse 99.3. Just like to say it's been a pleasure doing the Oldie Show on Sunday nights at the Pulse, and I'm going to miss it very dearly.
In early 2000, citing health and personal reasons, George Suen sold WSFW AM and FM to the Family Life Networks of Bath, who in turn have sold the stations to the Radio Group, headquartered in Geneva, New York. At approximately 6 p.m. this evening, WSFW 99.3 FM will cease broadcast operations in Seneca Falls. Starting Monday, March 13th, 99.3 FM will be home to The Wall, a classic rock station, and WSFW's AM format, which is currently classic country, will change to The Music of Your Life, featuring artists like Barbara Streisand, Neil Diamond, and Barry Manilow. WSFW AM 1110's operation will be moved to the Radio Group's headquarters in Geneva, New York. WSFW owner George Suen.
There comes a time for everything, and this is probably a good time for me to to get on my horse and kind of not really ride into the sunset, but sort of relax a little, sort of take it easy a little bit, collect my Social Security, and kind of take care of things at the Cobblestone Farms, and maybe have a little more time to play a little golf and sort of enjoy at least what I call a quasi-retirement.
I'm certainly going to miss the rapport that all of us here have. We have certain little voices that we just can't seem to get away from when we talk about things. No one knows why we do it or where they come from, but they just sort of have stayed with us.
Really?
Over the years.
Why is that?
And I have no, that was long before I even came to the station, I believe. But we do a lot of laughing here, and that's certainly the thing I will miss the most is the relationships with everybody here.
I've had some great people here. Jim, you've been a great employee of the radio station. Greg Cotterill, Laurie, Dorothy, Michelle, Scott. I mean, we've had a great time together. You've been a great staff, and you've been great to me, all of you, and I really appreciate your cooperation and all your help. Again, I want to thank all of the people that have supported WSFW over the years. Everyone has always been very, very nice to us.
We now conclude the broadcast activities of 99.3 FM WSFW in Seneca Falls, New York. For over three decades, WSFW-FM has operated on a frequency of 99.3 megahertz with a power of 3,000 watts vertical and 3,000 watts horizontal. Studios have been located at 1 Water Street with transmitter facilities on East Bayard Street Extension in Seneca Falls. Programs or portions of programs have been pre-recorded or otherwise mechanically reproduced. From the entire staff and management, deepest thanks to all of our listeners for 30 years of friendship and a fondest farewell. This is 99.3 FM, WSFW, Seneca Falls, New York.
And that was the way it was. On that fateful day in March of 2000, a great radio station died, and the Finger Lakes lost a truly unique community voice. Radio Kid, your thoughts?
Well, radio has not been the same since, and I don't think it or anything like it is coming back. And as you heard Mr. Schreck say in the interview, I mean, it was very much a shock to everyone. They only had 2 weeks' notice at most. And it's a crying shame what happened in Seneca Falls. And unfortunately, it has happened and is happening all over the country.
Absolutely. I mean, we could name other examples of stations that were a lot like WSFW that were also very near and dear to our hearts that we've also lost.
Well, you know, instead of doing that, to just drive this point home, why don't you and I tell our listeners, since that day, how the, and I'm going to be very frank here, how the WSFW legal ID and call letters that were so much a heritage to the community, you know, why don't we tell our listeners out there how they have been dragged through the mud?
Yes, I think that would be an interesting way to close. Well, as was mentioned in the special, the AM frequency kept the call letters and began simulcasting WAUB, which was running the Music of Your Life format. And that was then followed by sort of an AC Gold format, which I believe was actually based at or was identical to that which was being programmed at WCGR in Canandaigua. In 2001, WSFW, WAUB, WCGR, and WGVA all joined forces to form the Finger Lakes News Network, which was the radio group's first attempt at a news talk format on the AM band. I'm not sure, my timeline is a bit fuzzy here, exactly what year this took place, but Later on in that decade, something rather interesting did happen with 1110, and I have to give them credit for some creativity here. They came up with a tourist information format.
They started that in January of 2007.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much, Radio Kid, for that
bit of... But yes, the Finger Lakes... The Finger Lakes Visitors Channel!
That's right. And I have to say, it was rather an interesting format. I actually enjoyed listening to it. It was a repeating loop of very interesting historical facts about the Finger Lakes with weather and other items of local interest. In fact, they ran that format right up until the station was sold. It was sold to Calvary Satellite Network in exchange for one of their translators. And so that brings us to today. And today, the WSFW calls exist on paper, and you will still hear something at 1110 on the AM dial, but it is religious preaching and teaching all piped in from Twin Falls, Idaho.
So that brings us up to date, and we hope that you have enjoyed listening to and reminiscing with us about WSFW. This has been a special presentation of Clearing the Static, which is produced by Geneva Community Radio. We will be somewhat back to normal next week. You can find us online. We're at clearingthestatic.tripod.com, clearingthestatic.tripod.com. There you will find an archive of all of our past shows, as well as this one, which you can listen to as many times as you like. We will be seeing you next week. Clearing the Static is a production of Geneva Community Radio, which is solely responsible for its content.